We began a couple of nights ago before we had a two-night hiatus. We began a couple of halachos of chasana and kala and chasana halachos because now is the wedding season. So one interesting halacha which comes up all the time is regarding tachanun when there's a chasan who's present or a chasan on the day of his chasana. So let's just get into that. And we'll talk a little bit about tachanun in general. So really, the sugya of tachanun, the most important makar that the Rishonim quote, B'shem de Ga'onim, is really from the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Tesa Menal. Very surprising. It's in the middle of Perek HaZav, which is a perek that has nothing to do with this at all. I would have thought that the inyanim of tachanun would have been in brachos. However, the Gemara over here has a very interesting story. And at the end of the story, it comes out something about tachanun, which is very important. So the Gemara says, we know that if we have a tanur, which is made out of kli cheres, if you have something that's made out of cheres and it becomes tameh, so the din is you have to smash it. The only way to be metaher such an item is to smash it. So then the Gemara says, what's the halacha of, let's say we smash this item, and now the person wants to go back and put all the pieces together, cement it up with some, in those days they used to use sand, the Gemara says. So what happens if I want to cement up the oven, which is made out of kli cheres, and use it again? Should I assume that since I broke it, so now I got rid of the whole status of this kli being tameh, or should I assume, no, once you put it back together, it goes back to become tameh again? So this was the debate between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Rabbi Elazar said, well, once you smash it, it's fine, it's tahar, and if you put it back together, that's your issue, you're allowed to put it back together. The Chacham say no, the Chacham say that it's tameh, and a person cannot go back and put it back together, would not get rid of the status of tumah from that item anymore. Actually, it would become tummy again. So the Gemara says that there was a fierce disagreement between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, and it got so intense that Rabbi Elazar decided he feels that he has to bring rayas, he has to bring proofs to show that his opinion is correct. So the famous Gemara, we're told that Rabbi Elazar first says, Amas Hamayim Yochia. He says that I'm going to prove to you that I'm correct, because a miracle is going to happen that the stream which is flowing south-north is going to start flowing north-south. It's going to start flowing backwards. So, lo and behold, everyone looks out the window and the stream starts going backwards. Very interesting. So then they said, no, that's not going to be good enough. You're still wrong. We disagree with you. So then he says, you know what? Charuv yachiach. Look outside. The tree is going to be uprooted from the ground. 50 yamas, if I'm correct. Everyone looks out the window. Lo and behold, the tree goes flying into the sky. So I would have thought that's pretty convincing, pretty compelling. But still, they're not convinced. And then the Gemara says that he says, Kosley beis hamedrash yachichu. Finally, he says, the walls of the beis hamedrash should cave in, if I'm correct. And lo and behold, the walls started caving in. And finally, the Chachamim stood up and said, it's improper for you to do such a thing. And he made a baskol, came out and said that, Rabbi Elazar, you're right. But the bottom line was that the Chachamim paskin lo bashamayim. We don't trust all your simanim, all your rayas that you're bringing to your case. It's very nice. And we see that you're obviously a chashabiyid, that the Rabbanu Shalom is, you know, going along with this trick. But the bottom line is lo bashamayim. The Torah does not belong in shamayim. And we decided that you're not right. So your shita is outvoted. You're incorrect. Fine, so that was the story that the Gemara says. So then, the Gemara records a stranger part of the story, which many of us are not familiar with. And this part of the story, the Gemara says, is that Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, he was the head of the Beis Din at the time. So the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Gamliel felt that the way that Rabbi Elazar acted was inappropriate. If you want to disagree with a fellow Tana, you want to disagree with some of the Chachamim, so that's fine, but you disagree in such a fashion where you make the walls cave in, and you make the stream go backwards, you make the tree come out of the ground, he was very upset by the way Rabbi Elazar chose to argue with his other chaver, with his friends. So Rabbi Gamliel decided on behalf of the Beis Din, we're going to take a vote. Should we throw Rabbi Elazar into Cheirem, or should we keep him in the group? Says the Gemara, they all decided, Rabbi Elazar, you act like a chatzif, you're out. Put him in Cheirem for the rest of his life. He was out. So, interestingly enough, hey, the Gatana Rabbi Elazar is now in Cheirem, so who's going to break him the good news that he was put in Cheirem? So they were having a discussion in the Beis Medrash, who's going to break him the good news, till finally Rabbi Kiva comes along, and Rabbi Kiva says, listen, if any of you go, he's going to take it as a slap in the face. If I go, he knows I'm a big tzaddik, he knows I have good midas, he knows that I'm not putting it in his face, so I'll be the one to go break him the good news. Comes Rabbi Kiva into his house, and he shows up, and he lets him know that he's in Cheirem. Right away, Rabbi Elazar takes off his shoes, he acts like an avil, because the Gemara says in Ma'id Katan that a person who is in Cheirem has the din like an avil. So the Gemara tells us that he felt terrible, he ripped his clothing, and he realized that he was put in Cheirem because he acted inappropriately when he was having a disagreement with his fellow Chaver. So then the Gemara records a very strange part of the story. Says the Gemara that Ima Shalom, that was the woman's name who was married to Rabbi Elazar. That was Rabbi Elazar's wife's name, was Ima Shalom. So the Gemara tells us that every day she happened to be the sister of Rabbi Gamliel. If we remember, Rabbi Gamliel was the one who threw Rabbi Elazar out and told him that he's going to be put in Cheirem. right? On behalf of the Beis Din, Rabbi Gamliel decided that they're going to put Rabbi Lezer in Cheirim. So his sister happened to be married to Rabbi Lezer. Can you imagine? He put his brother-in-law in Cheirim. So the Gemara says that Ima Shalom, the sister of Rabbi Gamliel, was concerned that Rabbi Gamliel would daven that her brother should die to get back at him for what he did to his brother-in-law, for putting him in Cheirim. So what'd she do? So every day she would go and be mopsik him in between Shmona Esrei and Tachanun. The Gemara says every single day she would make sure that he was never able to say Tachanun, and then she was assured that he would not, that her brother would not die as a response to the tefillos of her husband Rabbi Lezer. That's what the Gemara tells us. And lo and behold, one day she thought that it was Rosh Chodesh, and she made a mistake because she thought it was a Chodesh Chaser, and really it was a Chodesh Malay. So Rosh Chodesh wasn't until the next day. And she decided, well, I don't have to make sure he doesn't say Tachanun today because it's Rosh Chodesh anyway. And lo and behold, Rabbi Lezer goes and says Tachanun, and she comes in crying after she realized what happened, and she says, my brother's going to die. And the Gemara says that within a day, they found out that Rabbi Gamliel passed away. So that's the Gemara story. Ask the Ritva, ask the Rishonim, what in the world is going on here? Do you think that she stood on top of her husband all day long to make sure he didn't say Tachanun? Says the Ritva, T'miya milsa, hey chefsha shalot tazim menu kalayom. What do you think? She stayed on top of him all day long that he's not able to utter a word of Tachanun? Say the Rishonim, says the Shita Mekubetzes there. Elamai, you have to say that this is like a tefillah arichta, to daven Shmona Esrei, and then to go straight into Tachanun, that's the way it's supposed to be. It's like one long hemshech hatfila. Therefore, he says, if a person is mapsik in between Shmona Esrei and Tachanun, he loses the whole power of the Tachanun. Although Tachanun, as we'll see in a minute, is something which is considered a very powerful tefillah. It's something that could actually make tremendous things happen, like you see in this Gemara. The one day that she made a mistake, and she allowed for her husband to say Tachanun, which was a real mistake, her brother actually died, because Rabbi Lezer was able to recite Tachanun right after he davened Shmona Esrei.
What does Tachanun have to do with killing somebody?
So the Gemara says over there that it was Kochel Shel Busha, because he was very embarrassed by what had happened to him. They embarrassed him, they put him in Cheirim. So he was davening back that they should pay the price for embarrassing him in public. So the Gemara says, Kama Kochel Shel Busha, you see how great Busha is, that the Rabbanu Shlom is willing to listen to a tefillah up to that point. That's what the Gemara says.
So let's
see in a minute. 1 second. So in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph, so the Mechaber paskins this halacha, that a person is not allowed to be mapsik in between Shmona Esrei and Tachanun, because it's considered, like the Gaonim say, this is considered like a tefillah richta. It's one long Shmona Esrei, and if a person really wants his tefillahs to be accepted, so one is supposed to go straight from Shmona Esrei into Tachanun. In fact, the Tur writes in Kuf Lamed Aleph as well, that there's a reason why we have three sections to davening. He says section number one is the section that we say sitting, like by Moshe Rabbeinu. We find three different times in Chumash where he davenes differently to the Rabbanu Shlom. So first, we sit by davening, by Pesukah de Zimra. And then, we stand by davening, which is the part of Shmona Esrei. And then, we have the last part, which is Nefilas Apayim. We fall on our faces. And after that, says the Torah, that's what we say, V'anachnu lo neda. We throw up our hands and we say, we have no other options. We tried everything. We tried to daven sitting. We tried to daven standing. We tried to daven with our heads down. And this is all we can do. We're doing our best. We're trying all the three options that were given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. And now it's up to you, Rabbanu Shalom, to accept our tefillahs. That's what the Torah says. That's why we recite Ba'anachnu Lo Neda after we're finished with the three ways. So we show the Rabbanu Shalom that we're doing all we can, and he should do the rest and fill in his part of the deal. So from this Gemara, the Rivash learns out, and he's quoting from Rav Natro Naigon, which the Torah quotes at B'Shem as well, that you see from here that obviously Tachanun is only a Rishus, it's not a Chovah. We don't have an obligation to say Tachanun every day. It's only Rishus. If a person wants to have the extra Schus in his Tefillos, so then he should recite Tachanun, it's not a Chiyuv. Why does he say that? Says the Chuvas HaRivash, and I quote, Shem Hayam Michaivas HaTefillah. If you're going to say that Tachanun is the same status as Shmona Esrei or Kriya Shema, Chas V'Shalom Shaya Tzadik Ahu Nimne Mima Shaya Chovah Bavur Ishto. What do you mean? Just because his wife would come and schmooze with him every day and try to distract him, you think he would have given up on the Chiyuv to say Tachanun because his wife was shepherding him, was talking to him? It doesn't make any sense. Rabbi Lezer was a great tzaddik, and obviously Rabbi Lezer was a person who was very medaktik in mitzvahs. He would have never allowed, even if it was his wife, as much as he loved her, he would have never allowed for such a thing, for his wife to disturb him every day and not allow him to say Tachanun. So therefore, say the Rishonim, it must be, from Rabbi Natan Naigon said, it must be that Tachanun is only Rishus, and therefore Rabbi Lezer said, okay, if my wife is standing here and needs something from me every single day, something happens to come up, so what can I do? I'm going to talk to her because Tachanun is only Rishus. So that's what the Rishonim say. So you were asking before, what exactly is the great schus of Tachanun? Says the Shem Yishmuel, Peshem Na'arizal. This is the Shem Yishmuel in Parshas Bamidbar, in Parshas Maaseh. He says, Ayidei Nefilas Hapayim. I don't claim to understand Kisvei Arizal at all. I'm just quoting from the Shem Yishmuel. He says, through Nefilas Hapayim, Yuchal ha'adam lahasig maila, a person can reach a level, mashalohaya efshel ha'agia ilah bilti ayidei shemos mikoidim. The same way we have in previous generations that people used to use shemos hakdoshim, people used to use shem havaya or special shemos to get certain places or to get certain, to make things happen or to make strange things happen. So says the Shem Yishmuel, quoting the Arizal, that so too, if a person davens tachanun with the proper kavanos, he's able to get to that same level of kedusha, to that same level of power that he would have been able to get through reciting a shemos hakdoshim and getting the yeshuas that would have done for him. Okay, so that's just tells us a little bit about the power that we have in reciting the tefillah of tachanun. Shulchan Aruch Arachayim Simen Kuf Lamed Dalet, Zok the Shulchan Aruch as follows. If you have a chassan davening in the Beis HaKnesses, Shulchan Aruch paskins that the shul should not say tachanun. Zok the Mishnah Berurah over there, it's only mishin nichnas the chuppah. After the chassan goes to the chuppah, then we assume that the tzibur is pater from saying tachanun. Says the Be'er Heitu over there, quoting the Trumas HaDeshen, and the Aruch HaShulchan says the same thing, that not only are we going to pater everyone from mincha right before the wedding, says the Be'er Heitu and the Shumas HaDeshen and the Aruch HaShulchan, that we would also pater you in the morning, shachris, from the day that the person is going to the chuppah. Not only to the mincha, which is previous, right before the wedding, we would assume even beginning shachris, the person would be pater as well. Then we assume, it's taliyah minhagim. Depends on the shul. Some shul say shachris, you should say tachanun, some say you shouldn't. Different minhagim. We assume that all the shivasim and mishnah, the whole tzibur is pater. If the chassan shows up to shul, so the chassan will be patering the whole tzibur from saying tachanun in the whole 7 days. Zakhtar b'shalem azalman, that this is only the case. This is the Be'er Heitu quotes from the Trumas HaDeshen and all the other achronim say we pater you from tachanun. This is only the case if the chassan is actually getting married before Shkia. But he says if the chassan is only going to get married after Shkia, okay. So what are you going to say? We're going to pater you from tachanun at mincha and at shachris. So there are two minhagim with this as well, but the Rav Shlomo Zalman himself felt that it's not right to pater the tzibur from tachanun already in the morning or in the afternoon if the chassan's not going to get married until after Shkia that night. The Achronim do point out, as the Shari Tshuva says over there in Hilchas Tachanun, that although there is a machlekes Achronim, whether we count Shavu Brachos me'eis le'eis, do we say that a person's mechuyev to make Shavu Brachos until exactly 7 days after the wedding, or do we say just once the seventh day comes, that's enough? He says when it comes to tachanun, we can be mekel and assume that you're going to be pater from tachanun until even past the me'eis le'eis, or even whichever one is more lahakel, we're going to go that way. So meaning, if the whole seventh day is going to give you more time, or the whole me'eis le'eis is going to give you more time, so then we would assume that would pater you from tachanun all these 7 days. Zok the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah, that since the chassan, and this is the Mishnah Berurah himself, since the chassan paters the tzibur from saying tachanun, therefore he says it's improper for the chassan to show up to shul during Shavu Brachos. Why? Because since we know that tachanun is such an important part of tefillah, like we said, so it's not right that for 7 days straight a person should pater the whole tzibur just because he's a chassan. Says the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah quotes us the halacha, and the Prisha writes in Eben Ezra as well in Hilchos Ksubas, that a person should not come to shul during his Shavu Brachos because we want that the tzibur should daven and say tachanun. I spoke to my father about this today. He thought the minhag always was in where he grew up, and in YU he said the minhag was always like this, that chassan should come to shul. He didn't see any compelling argument that the Mishnah Berurah gives just because they're going to pater the tzibur. So what's the big deal? So they're all involved in the simcha. They're all very happy for you. So it also seems to be a question of minhagim. There's a shaila in the Shevet HaLevi. What if the kala's in shul? Is she able to pater sitting in the Ezra Sanashim? Could she pater the tzibur from saying tachanun? Or should we assume no? It's only the chassan because we see him and he's around. He's with us. My father told me with that as well. He doesn't see any reason to discriminate between the chassan or the kala. We're very happy for the kala as much as we're happy for the chassan. So why should we assume? Assuming we know that she's in shul, I don't know how, but assuming that we know that she's in shul, if you have, like here, you know, we assume that we can see sometimes. So if we know that the person's in shul, so then there is a discussion, but my father assumed that we should say that the kala would be able to pater as well. There is a question raised in, there's an interesting sefer written by Reb Shalom Shvadron. So he writes in there, in his sefer on Chumash, that there's a situation where sometimes you have people who know where the chassan's going to daven in the morning. So they specifically try to find that minyan so that davening will go a little quicker, especially Monday or Thursday, will go a little faster. And let's skip some time. So Zakrib Shalom Shvadron on the following. Mihu anikra eni yari Hashem. Who can we consider not to be yari shamayim in our generation? So you're not going to say someone who's not shomer Torah mitzvos. You know, we have the Chazon Ish already says, we have Tinuk Shenishba, it's not so pashut. Figure out who's not a yari shamayim, what are we, how are we going to know? Zakrib Shalom Shvadron, no, it's a from a yid. Zem misha mevakish tachbulos li yipater mi mitzvos Hashem. This is a guy who goes around and tries to find ways out of doing things that he's supposed to do. Shekeinu lav akasav amevri reisim elakecha. The tzibur won't realize what you're doing, but the Ribbono Shel Olam knows exactly what's going through your head. Says Rav Shalom Shodron, Hine mispala adam minyan biyom sheni v'chamishi v'tzerach lomar v'hu rachum. Ach besamach yesh minyan acher shasham yesh chasen. A guy davens every day in the shul, but it happens to be Monday or Thursday, he has to get to work, so he decides, let me go to the shul where there's a chasen to pater myself and get out a little early. Zeh eino yari Hashem. Says Rav Shalom Shodron, this is the person that we would brand someone who doesn't have Yerushimayim. Omer havei v'akonos lebeis ha-knesset shabah chasen mispala v'apater mitachanun. Let me go make sure to run to that shul to be patterning myself from Tachanun. Zeu chayser yiras alekim. So he says this is a way to ensure yourself to have that brand name of someone who does not have Yerushimayim. You get the special title. So he says we should be careful not to try to patter ourselves from chiyuvim when we have it. Obviously, if there's a chasen at shul, so we're misameach with him when we patter ourselves. But if a person goes out of his way to do that, so that's not proper. Shlomo Zalman has an interesting shaila in Halicha Shlomo. What happens in a case where they thought there was a chassan in the room, where they thought there was a mayel or a sandik in the room, and it turns out that he wasn't. So they said Kaddish already, and they took out the Sefer Torah, and here they are, take out the Sefer Torah, and they look around. Oh, where's the Avi Ben? Where's the mayel? They realize that it wasn't true. This person wasn't here, and they really should have said Tachanun. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, to put the Sefer Torah back and say Tachanun, that's improper, you got a lane. To put the Sefer Torah on the bima is also not covered to the Sefer. Zakrub Shlomo Zalman should put the Sefer Torah away, say Venucha Yomer, then sit down and say Tachanun, and then Kaddish. That's what he suggests is the proper thing to do in the Halicha Shlomo. One last shaila is the following. Let's say you have a shatz, Shliach Tzira makes a mistake. And after he says Tachanun, he says Kaddish Tiskabel. We know you're supposed to say Chatzi Kaddish after Tachanun, so let's say after Tachanun he says Kaddish Tiskabel, which you're supposed to say after Uvalet Zion. And then they continue on with davening, and he realizes that he made a mistake. So the shaila is raised by the Achronim. Should a person go back? And this is not a new shaila. This is in the Beis Shlomo already, a long time ago. So the Beis Shlomo had the shaila that in his city, a chazan mistakenly said Kaddish Tiskabel after Tachanun. And now we wanted to know, should he say Kaddish Tiskabel again after Uvalet Zion? Or should we assume, no, once he said Kaddish Tiskabel once, so that's it, you messed it up. And there's no way to fix that. So that was the shaila that was raised by the Beis Shlomo. And he says the following. We have a machlokes, a little bit out of left field, but we have a machlokes by Purim night. Purim night, the halacha is, a person is supposed to daven Ma'ariv. Assuming you're not busy with other things, but a person's supposed to daven Ma'ariv. Then in shul we say Kaddish Tiskabel. Then we lay in Megillah. Then after Megillah we say Uvalet Zion. Right, let's say it's Matzah Shabbos, right? We're going to say Uvalet Zion, right? Vatar Kaddish. And then we say Aleinu and Kaddish. I'm sorry, after Uvalet Zion we say Kaddish, then we say Aleinu. So what Kaddish do you say there? Which Kaddish are you supposed to recite?
Yes.
What? So do you say a Kaddish Shalom with Tiskabel?
No.
Or do you just say a Kaddish Shalom without Tiskabel? So you're both right. Because the Machlokes Achronim, whether you should say it's Machlokes the Magen Avraham and the Elie Rabbah. Magen Avraham says you should say Kaddish B'li Tiskabel after Uvalet Zion. He says, because you already said Kaddish Tiskabel before you lay Mikra Megillah. Elie Rabbah says, no, what do you mean? We're saying a new Tefillah in Uvalet Zion. You're saying another Tefillah. You're asking the Rebbe Shalom for more things. So what did I say Kaddish Tiskabel after Shmona Esrei? I'll go say Kaddish Tiskabel again. So that's a machlokes in the Achronim. Says the Beis Shlomo, let's bring that over to our case and say the same thing. When we have a case where a person mistakenly says Kaddish Tiskabel after Tachanun, and now he's not sure what to do after Uvalet Zion, says the Beis Shlomo, you should say the same thing. Assume that a person should say Kaddish Tiskabel twice. So that's what he would assume. That was his tushtel. Should we assume that the Magen Avraham would say the same thing, and the same way the Magen Avraham writes over there that you shouldn't recite Tiskabel, so too over here he would say you shouldn't recite Tiskabel? So the Beis Shlomo says, yes. My father thought, no, over here a person made a mistake, he did the wrong thing. The question over there is, the Chatchila, is a person supposed to make two Kaddish Tiskabels when we're setting up the system? How do we set it up? But over here, where a person made a mistake, and Itaka didn't say the Kaddish Tiskabel in the right place, so he thought that you should say the Tiskabel twice. You say it number one after Tachanun because he made a mistake, and then you should repeat it again after Uvalet Zion, the proper place where it's supposed to be recited every single day. Right, so Hashem, we will be making a Shalom Zachar on Friday night by my in-laws, 5 Harborview West, for anyone who is wanting to brave the rain on Friday night. There's supposed to be major storms, but everyone is invited to participate.